use needles properly, how to exchange needles. She didn't like the tone. Apparently some of this was prompted, as you may have heard in an earlier Bathrob Spears broadside show, by the death of a teenage heroin addict and pressure from that youth's parents. And certainly a tragedy when anyone dies of a heroin overdose, and we certainly have a heroin problem in Santa Cruz. But to use that as a basis for reverting to medieval procedures is sort of similar to using the death of someone in a surgical operation or the death of a child through a midwife to ban an entire midwifing situation or to return to bleeding and leeches as some kind of way of dealing with illnesses. Needle exchange saves lives. That has been nationally proven. The fact that President Clinton has less guts and or intelligence than his commissions, than the people who've done this kind of work, who has no political nerve, doesn't mean that we should allow our city council or our police chief to follow in Clinton's footsteps. So I suggest those of you who feel that needle exchange should be allowed to distribute literature that says what's really going on, to give a call to city council at 429-3550. So while they are on vacation, nonetheless, they are still accessible through their voicemail, a 24-hour message service. You can actually call them now. You can walk over to the phone and call 429-3550 and tell them, one, make sure that medical marijuana is protected, and two, get rid of Sergeant McMahon's censorship activities around needle exchange literature. That is wrong. That is dangerous to the, not just to the health of heroin addicts, not just to the health of needle users, but to the health of the entire community. Not to mention it's being a straightforward attack on the young people in this community. 429-3550.
Rape and all that. All right. It was summer and I was working on my tan, so I was hitching home from the flea market in a halter and slacks, and I was tired, so when this car stopped, I scrambled right in without looking it over. And these two kids, about 15, were trying to act like their elder brothers or the movies, and they were hopeless. Just hopeless. One of them, the one with the big Adam's apple, pulled a knife. It obviously wasn't his. And made vaguely threatening motions at the window, while the one that was supposed to be telling me to suck them off was strangling in a terminal case of stutters. I remember how clear and lucid I felt, just like TV. These poor fools were ruining the show, but maybe with a few helpful tips. So I finished their lines for them and advised them on eye contact and how to speak from your gut and sinister silences, and if you keep holding a knife like that, you'll cut yourself. And don't both talk at once. And the guy with the stutter shouldn't talk at all, just leer. You do know how to leer? And also, around here the car screeched to a halt and they threw me out. I walked home talking to myself about all the little details done wrong. I think I was cross at such inferior stage management. And not till I was in my own room with the door locked did I register the obvious. I could have been killed. And then I really got mad. I mean, who the hell wants to get killed by a couple of amateurs?
Julia Vinograd, Eye of the Hand, Berkeley Street Poet.
Last night I heard the strangest thing I never heard before. I heard that Richard Nixon put an end to the Vietnam War. I heard and saw the mighty ones, ex-presidents and such. They all got up to praise the man and thank him very much. And when his coffin came to rest, as near TV. I saw the devil wash his hands, for no one spoke for me. And the people in the cemetery filed right past his bier, in swords and guns and uniforms, to pray and shed a tear. Last night I heard the strangest thing I never heard before. I heard that Richard Nixon put an end to the Vietnam War.
Street people and students. A student sees a street person going through forms, pretending to be crazy, making up impressive jail stories, living off government money with no homework, no pressure, cheating everyone, and with all that money and all that free time and such bizarre costumes, why, he can get more girls than I can. It's an outrage. A street dude sees a student going through ritual classes, pretending to study, making up impressive football stories, living off family money, with no hassle, no need to hustle, cheating everyone, and with all that money and all that free time and such fashionable clothes, well, he can get more girls than I can, and it's an outrage. So the students call street people bums, and the street people call students robots, and the girls walk by, full of promises, saying nothing and proving everything.
Of change are blowing in this country I love dear. The GOP took Congress and they're moving in high gear. Their contract is full of wondrous stuff. My only hesitation is they won't go far enough. Now I think we'd all agree that welfare's getting out of hand, with teenage moms and school lunch programs bankrupting the land. But orphanages still cost too much dough, and the tykes will be a burden when they grow. Let's have infanticide. It's been so long since it was really tried. The poor and weak ones will provide a final meal of cyanide. The savings would be justified. It's just a modest proposal to help us cut our tax. Of course, we'll wait until they're born, then kick them off our backs. Infanticide. Give kids the axe. I'm sick and tired of hearing senior citizens complain that losing Medicare and Medicaid would cause them pain. Our federal budget can't pay all their bills. I think I've got a cure for all their ills. It's euthanasia. The dollar savings would amaze ya. Now there's a practice really pays ya, though it dismays ya. It worked in Asia. And we wouldn't have to worry about the dread AARP. Their voting bloc would shrink to nothing if you follow me. Euthanasia for the elderly. America's economy has slipped and we can't stop it, while labor costs and foreign competition cut our profit. It's not enough to cut the minimum wage. I found an answer from another age. Let's bring back slavery. I know it sounds a bit unsavory. Those bleeding hearts might disagree, but they cannot fail to see my bravery. The South has never been the same without the institution, and bottom line adjustments will be up with my solution. Work makes free. Try slavery. It's dangerous to walk the streets because crime is on the rise, but building lots more prisons is a losing enterprise. Alabama brought the chain gang back. But overcrowded prisons need a new plan of attack. We need firing squads, much more effective than those cattle prods. There can't be doubt it will increase the odds. Hesitant prison guards will get to use their rods. And if we need more space, we can appropriate Indian reservation lands. Stem prison overflow by turning all of those into concentration camps and use those firing squads, the ultimate in gun control. I have some other good ideas, but I've gone on too long. So if you think of one yourself, just add it to the song. Soon you'll find we'll have it all our way, for there'll be no one left we have to pay. Yes, we'll have the whole world for our own, as long as I can hold this microphone. That's our broadcast for this evening. Stay tuned, America. Good night.
And that was alternately Mark Levy from his Born to be Wired album and Julia Vinograd from her Eye of the Hand spoken poetry. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 in Santa Cruz. If you have any comments to make, any public service announcements you want made, any thoughts or reflections on what you've heard, give a call to me at 423-4833. You'll catch a recorded message, but you can leave a message of any length. I'm sorry you can't call into the show today. Our normal voice line is down. We're waiting for that phone bill to get paid. I think that's what we're waiting for. It's always a little mysterious to me because other folks are taking care of that or trying to. Well, in the studio with me is my producer and sometime video journalist Becky Johnson, who has been working, well, she worked for 6 months, almost, I don't want to say single-handedly, there was a hearty crew around her on the Santa Cruz City Sleeping Ban Initiative, Repeal Initiative, which fell short, as we like to discreetly say. But those of us who are concerned about this anti-homeless law that makes it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night and puts literally hundreds of people in illegal status every night are continuing to struggle on. What's the latest around this, Becky?
Hi, Robert. Yeah, well, tonight we're anticipating we have another event tomorrow night on July 31st. We have another chapter in Don't Sleep Tonight Night. This time we want to do a little different twist on it. First off, a lot of us who tried to go from 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. without sleeping a wink found that to be a grueling, difficult, and for some of us impossible task to comply with. Although, if you haven't done it, tomorrow night's your chance. It's a Friday night. You can't, if you're a regular 40-hour-a-week work type person and have weekends off, you can stay up all night on Friday night, and don't sleep until 8:30 a.m. because it's the law. It's the law anywhere out of doors in the city of Santa Cruz.
Or in a vehicle.
Or in a vehicle. That's correct.
Or cover up with blankets.
Now, what we're planning on doing tomorrow night is having those of us, we're going to focus on the blanket ban, because it's also illegal to cover up with blankets, but only at night, between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m.
Some sort of mystical significance to that? I mean, is there sort of some taboo you're violating by covering up with blankets at night? I mean, is it more, I don't know, scenic to have a blanket during the day? What's the reason for this?
I can't think of any reason other than twisted sadism myself. I mean, seems to me between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m., that's as cold as it gets. And strangely enough, that's when most people are snug and warm, sleep in their beds, covered up with their blankets indoors, I might add. And so to compel homeless people to fold up their blankets and sit quietly nearby, or perhaps walk around at night, that's the way the law is written in this town, and it's really, I think it's a blight on this town to have such a law. Many, many people are becoming aware of the hideousness of the blanket ban, which prevents people even from protecting from hypothermia. Although tomorrow night will be about as warm as it gets, I think. July 31st, this will be a warm night. And so what we're asking is people in their homes to try to sleep without a blanket tomorrow night. So when you go to bed, just check your blanket, fold it up, leave it nearby to tempt you, but don't use it.
You can't use a sheet either. That's illegal. I don't think so. In other words, if you want to fend off against the mosquitoes, what you need to do is just have an active swatting device of some sort.
Yeah. Mosquitoes are just your problem, and just keep swatting. However, we're also asking people to commit civil disobedience tomorrow night. This is for people who, what we're asking people is to go out in your driveway and to set your lawn chair up and cover up with a blanket out of doors after 11 p.m. Please do. And, if you feel real guilty, you might want to call the police department and confess that you're breaking the law.
Confession is definitely good for the soul. And possibly you could even, do one better, use the sort of the Scott Kennedy approach, snitch on your neighbor. If you see your neighbor out there, I intend to snitch on David Silva if he shows up in the driveway. I'll tell you, Silva, you're history, man. And anybody else who shows up in a driveway tomorrow night, I can assure you I am going to complain to the police department and make sure all you scofflaws are ticketed. Of course, you could also do the same to me. That's always a possibility.
Yeah, so do one of three things tomorrow night. Don't sleep at all, or go to sleep, but don't use a blanket, or commit civil disobedience and cover up with a blanket out of doors after 11 p.m. at night. We have some San Diego support again this time, Robert?
Yes, we do indeed. And actually, I have a fax that was sent to me from San Diego, which, as those of you who've been listening to the show regularly and probably know, the San Diego homeless have been parked en masse in front of their city hall, city concourse down in San Diego, bringing to public attention the fact that there's criminalization laws against sleeping outside down there, and harsh police practices against the homeless, and no shelter for thousands of homeless people there, in violation of actually the McKinney Act, which provided for unused military property to be given first to homeless people for use, and instead they're using it for glitzy tourist redevelopment projects, strangely enough. Anyway, we received a note from the People's Establishment, as the San Diego Homeless Protest calls itself, which says this: "Sleepless night for the homeless. You are invited to be sleepless in San Diego in conjunction with our sister city's demonstration in Santa Cruz, California, on July 31st, 1998, between the hours of 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. We will not be sleeping to protest city ordinances that define where and when a homeless person can sleep." Actually, you can't sleep, period, unless you happen to be in a home, so it's no sleep for all of us, or those of us who happen to be homeless, or happen to be outside. "Let's band together as one big family and show the city united we stand, divided we fall. Come join us at the City Concourse, 202 C Street, San Diego, California. Thank you, the People's Establishment." So I actually was hoping to get several interviews today from San Diego and other places, one from, hopefully, from Valerie Corral, who I hope to be talking to in the days ahead, about the strange behavior of Police Chief Belcher in removing this protection for marijuana distribution, medical marijuana distributors of WAM, from the City Council agenda. And Valerie may not give me a straight answer on this, because she is much more of a diplomat than I am. When I see something that stinks, I start vomiting publicly. She, on the other hand, hard worker that she is, taking care of the healths of hundreds of people through this sole remaining distribution system for marijuana here in Santa Cruz for the sick,
has to really deal with the reality of dying people every day. And those of you who listened earlier to Toni Treadway's show heard her speaking on the air about this issue, and she didn't seem too happy with Chief Belcher. Of course, I'd let her speak for herself, and she did speak for herself. But I'm sure that her main concern is getting a law through, getting protection for her patients, getting protection for those who should have been protected already by Proposition 215. We don't have her on an interview, unfortunately, because today was kind of a rushed day. Today was Rachel's birthday. Rachel is the 13-year-old, she was 12, who single-handedly stood off the FCC when they came to the station in May and demanded to be let in to inspect. She said to them, "Do you have a search warrant?" And they, these graying men with their clipboards and their sports coats, said, "We don't need no stinking search warrant." And she said, "Yes, you do." And they backed off. And so we want to wish her a happy birthday today, and I'm going to plead that her birthday, to some extent, and the other confused problems is the reason that I haven't got all the interviews that I should have, hoping also to follow up in other areas.
Internet free radio listeners, it's Rachel's fault.
It's Rachel's fault. If only she hadn't been born today. We could blame the mother, but we won't get into that at this time. I'm hoping that in a future show we'll have some real strong updates on what's happening with the Monterey Cannabis Club, which was apparently, unlike the Berkeley, which is, or let's turn to Oakland, which is really the best example. Oakland is protecting its cannabis club. I'm going to read a story about Oakland later in the show. Monterey Board of Supervisors was going after its cannabis club with gun and camera in June, according to the Monterey County Herald, and I'm hoping to get an update on that. Also, in San Diego, there's a lot happening. I'm going to read the latest alert that I'm putting out over the California Homeless Civil Rights Action Network. Before I do, however, looks like Becky Johnson is slipping out of the studio. Becky, any update from the Citizens Committee for the Homeless? I know that you were a big player on that committee before you were unceremoniously dumped at the behest of Karen Gillette. Any comment on what's going on there?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Committee House is open and they're filling up. So if you've got your verified income, go down there. You can get
isn't that
your own room.
It's that no sex place where you get in if you're one of 30 lucky people.
Sex, and it's just masturbation is completely acceptable.
Well, I've heard that old slogan, masturbate and smash the state. I certainly approve of masturbation in moderation, and my palms are certainly as hairy as anyone's, but let's turn back to this alert from San Diego. This is a one-page alert that we send out to different agencies in the state. It's kind of a group of folks who got together in Los Angeles 2 years ago, decided they wanted to support homeless rights struggles in different places. And the idea is to send this out to different cities, and then the person in each city sends it out to six or seven people in that city in a kind of a chain, and then those folks fax or email back to the people who need the help. And here's what's happening in San Diego. You've heard about it before if you've been listening to this show on earlier occasions, but this is kind of an update. Police to homeless. No sleep, no signs, no prayers. The issue. San Diego has no shelter for 3,000 of its 5,000 homeless people. On July 18th, San Diego police brutally and forcibly dispersed a four-month-long peaceful protest encampment at the City Hall concourse by San Diego homeless activists. Hundreds of homeless people, calling themselves the People's Establishment, had been sleeping peacefully and safely in a self-managed community at City Hall for 4 months. Police have driven all but several dozen into hiding in unsafe spaces in a city that criminalizes sleeping outside. The protest. Mayor Susan Golding has refused to respond to basic needs of the San Diego homeless. In a bogus deal with charities that sold out the homeless, guaranteed access to unused federal property under the McKinney Act has been refused. Golding's goon squads have arrested, and her DA plans to prosecute, six activists who peacefully tried to reclaim the Naval Training Center property. She and her police department have broken their promises to the homeless by stealing and sequestering homeless survival gear, bedding, clothing, protective gear, to crush their protest. Smaller protests and gatherings of homeless people are harried from place to place, even after they fled the City Hall protest.
protesters respond. Police have arrested protest leaders on bogus charges of littering, drunkenness, and resisting arrest. On Sunday, July 19th, police arrested Roger Scott for an American flag protest sign. Scott was brutalized, dragged to jail, denied medical attention, and held until $4,000 bail was raised for his release. On Tuesday, July 21st and Friday, July 24th, police seized food being given to the protesters by Food Not Bombs, an anti-hunger support group. Enforcement guidelines mediated by the American Civil Liberties Union between the protesters and the city, allowing protesters to hold signs and pray, are regularly violated by the police, who regularly shine flashlights in the closed eyes of praying protesters, shouting, "Are you awake? Wake up." What the protesters need: the People's Establishment desperately needs local lawyers, legal observers, assistance with publicity, access to media, and office supporters. Streetlight editor and writer Forrest Kuro has applied for an injunction to stop the police harassment, but needs legal help. Court date, August 10th. Leaders have called for solidarity with the Santa Cruz homeless in their July 31st Don't Sleep Tonight night, and invited homeless protesters from across the country to come to San Diego on Labor Day weekend. How can you help? Contact the mayor and city council at 202 C Street, Suite 11A, San Diego, California, 92101. Phone, and we have a series of phone numbers, fax numbers, and email addresses, which I will give anyone who wants to call, 423-4833. You can also contact the media down there, and you can support the protesters themselves, who can be reached through the newspaper Street Light in San Diego. Again, for more information, just call 423-4833. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 in Santa Cruz. This is the 6 to 8 evening show, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. We cover civil rights on the streets, in the suites, and just generally here and there and everywhere. We normally have a call-in talk line, but not on this particular show. I'm hoping we can get it restored soon. And we're also hoping to hear soon from Lisa, who I understand is having child care problems. She was going to give us an update on the beach flats and on the upcoming city council races. And we're hoping to hear from her. But if she can't make it this time, she'll certainly be a welcome guest on a future show. We've also gotten word that the United Farm Workers on August 12th is having a human billboard on Pacific Avenue, presumably to support strawberry workers who are being ripped off and shoved out by this bogus pseudo-election that was held last week. If you want to get more information on that, talk to Monica at 763-4934. That's 763-4934. For information on the August 12th human billboard that the United Farm Workers is presenting down here in Santa Cruz. And again, I remind you that there is this sleep fast coming up on July 31st. And for more information about that, you can give a call to David Silva at 429-5284. 429-5284. Boy, another interview I wished I'd done and will do before Sunday is an update on the Phil Baer slander that was going on via Scott Kennedy and Michael Hernandez. The Metro, in a rare display of journalism — they rarely commit journalism, it's one of the crimes they just don't engage in — has two very good letters that I want to read. And I'm hoping to interview myself, Emilio Martinez, who I'm told is listening to this broadcast. And Emilio, I want to thank you for that letter to the Metro, and I certainly would like to talk to you live or in a recorded interview, and I'll try to do that before Sunday when the show will be coming back for its next edition at 11 o'clock in the morning. But for those of you who haven't heard these letters, I'm going to read them aloud. I'm sure probably most of you have, but the issue, of course, was the question of alleged racism by Phil Baer in accusations that were raised and passed on to the district attorney by council members Hernandez and Kennedy. Of course, many of us believe that this was simply a blind to cover Baer's pungent, succinct, and telling criticisms around the beach flats, what would we say, rush to judgment, bulldozer campaign to bulldoze through
a giveaway to the Seaside Company in a huge redevelopment project in the middle of a summer vacation period where there's no time for extended debate or discussion. Let's look at these letters. I'm going to read them here. And would that I had open phone lines. If you do have comments, please give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will play those comments on Sunday. First letter is headed Questionable Lies, and it's by Emilio Martinez. I am astounded that Don Lane, a former council member, would accuse Phil Baer of being a racist. Mr. Lane should be ashamed of himself. As a council member, Mr. Lane failed Beach Flats miserably, and his type of politics is the reason we have the Beach Flats of today, which is segregated, dilapidated, and overcrowded. The fact that Beach Flats exists is racist. To accuse Phil Baer of being racist is not only irresponsible but typical of a council member attempting to wash his hands of any responsibility. Mr. Lane is incorrect in his assumption that Vice Mayor Scott Kennedy and Councilmember Michael Hernandez, quote, responsibly asked the DA to look into a potentially illegal act. The facts are as follows. I told Scott Kennedy approximately a year ago of a meeting attended by Beach Flats property owners that was perpetrated by a Latino landlord in the attempt to stop renting to people who were selling drugs. The majority of people selling drugs in Beach Flats are Latinos. Why did Kennedy and Hernandez wait 1 year to report this to the DA if they are so, quote, responsible and concerned for the Latino community? Not only did they wait 1 year to report this incident to the DA, but Vice Mayor Kennedy and Councilmember Michael Hernandez lied. They falsely reported to the DA that I had filed a complaint. The reason that Kennedy and Hernandez waited until just recently to file a complaint accusing Phil Baer of being a racist is because Baer had successfully instigated serious and legitimate questions regarding the expansion of the boardwalk. What Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Hernandez did was atrocious, underhanded, irresponsible, and questions their integrity and political agenda. What Mr. Lane writes are gibberish, nonsense, and questionable lies, which is much like his tenure as a council member. Phil Baer is one of the few, if not the only, residing property owners in Beach Flats. I have yet to see any council member reside in Beach Flats. Finally, I lit enough candles to start a bonfire in hopes that Mr. Lane does not consider running for a city council seat again for fear that we will be subjected to another 4 years of whining and blind leading the blind politics. This is a letter from Emilio Martinez of Santa Cruz in the July 29th through August 5th Metro Santa Cruz on page 2. For those of you who want to pick it up, it's a free paper. Second letter, third party allegations is the heading that the Metro gives it, is by Phil Baer himself. And the Baer growls as follows. Any statements I might have made to the City Council would be part of the public record, and Mr. Lane could provide the transcript to substantiate his allegations. He did not and will not because I made no such statements. One council member, a person of color, explicitly stated that she felt his remarks were racist. So said Lane in the letters column of the Metro Santa Cruz on July 15th. What council member? What statements? This trial in the media is based on third-party allegations of statements that are not presented. All three of the accusers, Lane, Kennedy, and Hernandez, are present or former members of the Redevelopment Agency, the lead agency behind the beach area south of Laurel comprehensive plan. No single piece of evidence, no quote, no specific act has been provided to substantiate their allegations because I made no such statements and committed no such acts. These are attempts by unscrupulous pawns of the developers to clear the path for an unpopular development. The fact that these three are all present or former elected officials says something to the larger issue of what the government of this city has become. These middle-aged, recycled, disillusioned politicians who have failed to make a career for themselves and failed to leave a legacy must realize that they have put too many eggs in the wrong basket. Get out of public life, get out of public office, and get a life. That's Phil Baer, Santa Cruz, again in the July 29th issue of the Metro Santa Cruz. If you have any comments about any of this, if you have anything you wish to add to it, if you have any thoughts, if you wish to present the other side, I've invited Scott Kennedy on this show repeatedly, and he has told me he's coming and then habitually canceled at the last minute. Please give me a call at 423-4833. 423-4833.
Well, that's lots of talk. Here's a little music.
I like a man with class and dignity and savoir-faire. It's getting late, and while I wait, my poor heart aches on. Why keep the brakes on? Let's misbehave. I feel quite sure un père d'amour would be attractive. My heart is true, and you say you for me care. Someone is sure to tell, but what the hell do we care? They say that spring means just one thing to little lovebirds. We're all alone, no chaperone can get our number. The world in slumber, let's misbehave. There's something wild about you, child, that's so contagious. Let's be outrageous, let's misbehave. When Adam won Eve's hand, he wouldn't stand for teasing. He didn't care, although the fruit was out of season. They say that bears have love affairs, and even camels. We're merely mammals, let's misbehave.
The church on the street talking to
Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
How you doing?
Good. You've been here a while, I guess, at least for a few months. Huh?
Yeah. I've been here off and on for like 3 years.
We're talking to Jeff of the Church on the Street in Prescott, Arizona, an interview about a month old, talking about anti-homeless laws in Arizona and how homeless people are treated there.
Street.
And you said you knew something about these anti-homeless laws the council is considering?
Right, what they were considering is registering the homeless who come through town, so they have to be registered to get food box or what have you from any of the establishments here that help people out with food.
So naturally folks with warrants for petty offenses would be reluctant to go anywhere near the police station.
Absolutely. Yeah. But as some of the brothers from here went to the city council meeting a month or so ago, and the mayor said if anything like that causes his desk, he will veto it.
Well, that's what I heard, that the kind of the ID plan had been sort of set aside, but they're still right. Thinking of some anti-homeless stuff like no spear changing, no sleeping laws, things like that.
Yeah, well, there's no sleeping out at the square, even out at the Granite Creek Park.
Is that night and day, or just at night, no sleeping?
Well, I'm not too sure. Cooper might know a little more. You might want to ask him a couple things, too.
Okay.
But I know that out at the square, it's a no-no. And that's pretty much, all that I know what's going on about that. But with the food situation, then that's not going to work.
What's the food situation?
The food is like getting them registered before they can get food.
Is this a thing being pushed by the social services themselves or by the police?
No,
or
it's
merchants?
The merchants. Okay. The merchants, because they don't like the homeless around their businesses. They think they deter their business and all that.
What do you think?
I think, it doesn't. They're going to have their business anyways. Prescott is a tourist town. People are going to come anyways. We try to get, what we're about here at Church on the Street is to get the guys off the street, introduce them to Jesus Christ, and show them that there's a better way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, you know, some of them, you know, have been around here for a long time and haven't got it. You know what I mean? That they don't really, they know, they've heard of Jesus Christ, but they just don't want to surrender. Mm-hmm. Now, about, you know, the merchants and all that.
How about the merchants? Have they heard about Jesus Christ lately? Or, I guess not if they're packing these laws.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, we don't want to go slamming them with Jesus Christ quite yet, but you know, we're hitting the squares and we're letting Jesus be known here in Prescott.
Tell us a little bit about your organization. Is this a food operation that feeds whoever is hungry?
Well, what it's mainly geared to is a discipleship program. It's a 90-day commitment to come in here. We have like 18 guys here now, and rent-free food. You're on a 30-day restriction on the first 30 days, and then you don't work for 3 months, but you just get into the Word of God and intense Bible studies. Mm-hmm. Monday is our only day off right now, but we're Tuesdays. We have a service, and then we feed the homeless. Everybody's welcome to come into the church, and we have
How
a
often?
Big meal. That's Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Now, what about the group Food Not Bombs? Have you heard about them?
The what?
Food Not Bombs.
Oh, yeah, you know, I heard something about that. I'm not too sure about them. I haven't heard much.
Saw a poster downtown talking about Food Not Bombs serving free food.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to check into that. I'm not too sure who they are or what they are.
Right across from the main plaza.
Yeah.
You know where the cattleman shop is?
Sure.
It's down a few storefronts
yeah.
from that.
Huh.
No problems with the police hassling folks for serving free food?
No. Yeah. No, you know, and we have also, I have an outreach out at Granite Creek Park on Wednesday's afternoon. We take food down there. We feed, you know, we advertise so people know, and we go down there on Wednesdays and Sundays
mm-hmm.
afternoon. After church service here, we go down there and feed. We, you know, we preach the gospel and, you know, try and give, you know, let them know that Jesus, there is hope, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, in the discipleship program, we're all here and we're all here, you know, off the streets, you know, and...
How long have you been doing this?
I've been here. Well, I was never really homeless, but, you know, I came up here 3 years ago. So I was the first disciple in the house. After
is this funded by you or by other
people? No, man. This is funded by God.
God came down and gave you guys some money?
Every, all the time.
But
we get checks come from people who we don't even know. There's checks come from people who God ordained to give us money.
So this isn't a particular religious sect that gives you money?
No, man. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that we're here to tell people that Jesus is real and He is alive and He loves people and He's here to change their lives. He loves them, you know? And by proof of that is like, this place is still in existence. We're not funded by any government programs, we're not nothing, but God supplies all our needs, the gas,
what
the
about,
has never been shut off.
What's the working situation like with folks in town? Is it hard to get a job?
Working? No, man, if you're in the construction field, it's not hard at all because, you know, Prescott Valley's booming, Prescott's booming. You know, there's a lot of building going on.
Are the rents kind of equivalent to the kind of work you can get?
Yeah.
Can you pay for rent here?
Well, you know, rent's pretty high, you know, because this is one of the highest per capita living-wise Prescott, Arizona.
I'm a novice here, so I
guess. Yeah, it's very expensive, and you can get some, you know, Paul knows here, you know, we can get... It varies, man, you know, 200 a month to 600, you know.
You mean the rent or the rent? And how much can you make in an average job, 8 hours
well,
a day?
It depends on what you're doing, you know, and what you know.
Yeah, the bigger trades naturally make a little more money, but anything that's labor in this area of the country is pretty poor. So, yeah, that's really about the only thing I got to say about it. You know, I've tried making a living around here for a couple of years, and you know, I've pretty much went the way of doing flea markets at the big markets, you know, in order to make a decent living for myself around here.
Has that been successful for you?
Pretty much. You know, I mean, like all businesses, it takes a little while to get them off the ground and get everything working the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not been too bad.
How's the job situation for you?
Right now, I'm not working. I'm on SSI.
Right. If you were to seek work, would it be hard to get a job, do you imagine, for yourself around here?
No.
So there really is a significant number of jobs available.
Yeah, there is. If you find the right job for the right person, yeah.
Does your SSI cover enough for housing and your other needs, you know, food and other things?
Right now, I'm only drawing like $300 and some odd dollars. And I'm trying to get on disability, regular disability, social security disability, which will jump up to about almost $600. Then it might help. That's all I can say.
Also, you know, I mean, we're geared here at Church on the Street to get people, you know, their 3 months to get their head on and, you know, and get the word in them, and then they're free after 3 months to go out and get a job. Then they're able to stay here and pay a little rent and save up some money and get their own place.
So how many people are doing that right now?
There's one brother right there, and another brother, he's not here right now.
And that's the report from the Church on the Streets in Prescott, Arizona. Interesting stuff, but needs to be better edited, and hopefully we can do that. We were also at our last program talking a lot about free radio itself, what you're tuned to right now, 96.3 FM. And free radio is an idea and a practice and a kind of community effort which essentially is based on the notion that the airwaves belong to the people, not to the large corporations. And what Free Radio Santa Cruz has been doing for 3 years is letting the community talk to itself, letting the community discuss issues it needs to discuss that are not otherwise discussable through the mainstream media. You get an occasional letter that they'll print for you in the Metro Santa Cruz, but they rapidly get bored. You get 2 or 3 minutes at City Council, but that is no time to be able to air these issues that need to be worked out and really examined. Free radio is under attack, as those of you who listen regularly know. The Free Radio Berkeley has closed down and is now restricted to the internet. Same in San Francisco. And in Santa Cruz, we frankly are not sure what's going to happen tomorrow. We have got signs all over the studio which tell us what to do if the police and the FCC arrive. So we don't know. Every broadcaster who speaks to you on the air is risking jail and fine, and gladly doing that in order to get out basic information to the community, in order to express what needs to be expressed, in order to reclaim the airwaves, to take back the airwaves for the people. And if you want to be a part of this process, then give a call to our voicemail at 427-4523, and we'll tell you how you can help. We need stuff for flea markets. We're circulating a petition. We're trying to get City Council to support